Shlach lecho anashim, Yosura Seretz Knan Asher Anino Sein Lignei Yisrael, Yishechot Lematei Avosov Tishlochu, Kol Nasadonet. Now, Rashi says, Shlach lecho. It says Rashi, in the second Rashi in Pasuk Bet, Ledatcho, meaning I'm not commanding you, but you choose if you want to. Im tirtzeh, shlach. So the question is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu do it? Second problem is the word V'yosuru es Eretz Knan. Now, usually in the translations, V'yosuru is translated as a spying. This is how they translate it. Now, Yosuru does not mean spying. The word to spy is really Leragel. Meragel. This is what it says. For instance, in the Haftorah of this week, their real spies were sent to see the Jericho when they had to conquer Jericho. It says clearly, Vaishlach Yoshua Shnaim Anoshim Meraglim. They are called Meraglim. Losur is closer to the word to tour. I mean, they're coming to tour the land. But it's a different thing completely. I mean, spying, you go to sea for military purposes. The other hint that the purpose of this delegation is not military is the fact that who was chosen? Ishechod lematei avosov tishlochu. Obviously, if you are going to send people for a military purpose, which is the superficial reason for the Meraglim, if you are not going to send representatives from each tribe, what is the purpose of a representative from each tribe? Besides, why kol nosi bohem? Each one was a nosi, a leader. You don't choose leaders. You choose specialists. You choose military specialists. When you go to spy a land, you don't choose leaders. You only choose leaders. Kol nosi bohem, and again, in Pasuk Gimel, kulam anashim roshei bnei Yisrael heimo. They are the heads. You know what they are the heads really means? The same way that the head thinks, they are the ones who think for the people. In other words, they are the ones who affect public opinion. That's what the real meaning is. They are the heads of the Jewish people. What I mean, the heads, they influence public opinion. What is the influencing public opinion have to do with anything? This is a military purpose. So from all these things, we can come to the conclusion that Moshe Rabbeinu did not send this group of 12 people for military purposes. So now we have to look for a reason. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu send them? So it says like this. I saw in a book that somebody printed with Divrei Torah from Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitcher, Rabbi Ber Soloveitcher from Boston. He said the following insight. The purpose of Moshe Rabbeinu sending the Meraglim to Eretz Yisrael has nothing to do with military strategy. The purpose was that they should come to the land of Israel, and they should be so emotionally affected by being in the land, because we believe that the soul of the Jew has a natural affinity, a natural feeling of closeness to the land. Which means if a Jew lets himself go when he comes to the land of Israel, he will feel a certain attachment to the land. If he lets himself go, he wanted this Meraglim, he wanted this people, the leaders of the Jewish people, to fall in love, that's what he calls it, to fall in love with the land of Israel. To be so excited about being in Israel that when they come back and they give a report to the Jewish people, the excitement will just run, will just spill over to the point that all the Jews will be so excited that they will want to come to Israel right away. Why? What was so important for Moshe Rabbeinu that the Jews should decide to come to Israel right away? If you remember in last week's portion, something very important happened in Klal Yisrael. There is a break, there is a crack in the relationship between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people. The gap is widening. And we mentioned that whenever the gap between a leader and the people widens, there is a tremendous danger that if the gap is too wide, he ceases to be our leader, or we cease to be his disciples, his followers, right? Now, that gap that was created between the Jews and Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu sees what it's going to lead to, and everybody else sees it too. We mentioned that the Nevuah, the prophecy that said, Moshe met Yoshua Machnitz, Yoshua is the one who is going to bring the Jews into Israel, is a natural consequence of that gap that's being developed, which means like this: if the gap is too wide, Moshe can't be the leader of the Jewish people. But there is something else. We mentioned what the Gemara says. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have brought the Jews into Israel, their entering into Israel would be as great, as supernatural, as miraculous as their leaving Egypt. Now, if the Jews would have gone in with Moshe Rabbeinu, then the entering of Israel could be immediate, right now. Moshe Rabbeinu realizes that the gap is widening, and he realizes that the Jews are leaving, are going away from that supernatural state they were in. They are coming closer and closer to a much more natural, physical, material state. And through the physical, normal state, they can't come into Israel. Israel, at this point, cannot be conquered normally. They can only be, Israel right now, Canaan can only be conquered supernaturally with Moshe Rabbeinu, which means like this. As a matter of fact, when the Jews came and they saw the land and they came back and they said, this land is unconquerable. Were they wrong? They were 100% right. Through normal means, there is no way that you can come into the land and conquer it. There is no way. You have to wait until you can develop, you can adjust to the land, and that will take 40 years. Which means like this. The result of the report of the Meragli is a natural result. They said, we can't conquer them. That statement was true according to their physical level. Therefore, they had to wait 40 years. But had they fallen in love with the land of Israel, their excitement would be so intense, so strong, that excitement would make them jump to the opportunity to go in right now in a miraculous way. And in this way, Moshe Rabbeinu would have been able to lead the Jewish people into Israel. In other words, the purpose of Moshe Rabbeinu was not military at all. Which means like this, it becomes a military report if they say, we don't want to go in right now. But if they would have said, yes, we want to go in right now, we fell in love with the land of Israel, then there would be nothing that would stop them right now. They would go into Israel, Moshe would have led them, and that would be immediately the end of the journey through the desert. This is the way Rabbi Sheber Soloveitchik learns Pshat in this Parsha. And really, it's connected with the first Rashi in the Parsha too. The first Rashi in the Parsha makes the connection between the last portion of Parsha Baloisko and the first portion of Parsha Shlach. Says Rashi, the first Rashi. Lomo nismecho parshas Meraglim the parshas Miriam. What is the connection between the portion of the Meraglim and the portion of Miriam? Because lefishe lo koaliskei dibo, because she spoke lashon hara on Moshe Rabbeinu, and she was punished. Ureshoim alolu, and this wicked people row veloy lokhu muser. They saw what happened to Miriam, and they didn't learn the lesson. So that's a big sin that they didn't learn the lesson. I mean, and besides the point, I mean, did they say a lie? They didn't say a lie. They say exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu sent them to say. give an objective report concerning the land of Israel. The answer is that that they saw for Miriam, that what was the purpose? Remember, we spoke about it last week. What was the whole idea of Miriam? Why did she speak against Moshe Rabbeinu? She wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to come down from that very high level of his, so there can be again a contact between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people. And Hashem said, no, no way. Moshe Rabbeinu has to remain all the way up. The only way that the gap can be closed is by the Jews going up in their level. This is what these Jews should have realized. Now, how can you go up to Moshe Rabbeinu's level? Only through falling in love with the land of Israel. They didn't, and that was their failure. That's what made the gap between the Jews and Moshe Rabbeinu final. And that sealed the fate of Moshe Rabbeinu, at least at this point, that Moshe Rabbeinu will not lead the Jewish people into Israel. Now, I saw in the Mayono Shel Torah, brings down from, I think, some Medrash or something, but the pshat is a very nice pshat. In the questionnaire, so to speak, that Moshe Rabbeinu gives the Meraglim, in other words, what are the questions that you have to answer? It says like this. We'll skip a little bit. We'll come back again to the beginning of the parsha. But it says like this in Pasuk Yudchet: Urisem Esoret, you'll see the land. Mahi, what is the nature of the land? Ve'soma Yosef Oleo Hechozoku Harofe. Is he weak or is he strong? Now, on the surface, what does it sound like? If he's strong, then what? Then it's bad, right? If it's weak, then it's good. Hame'atu imrov. Are there a lot of inhabitants or very few? So if it's a lot, it's bad. If it's few, it's good, right? That's what it sounds like. Umoho ores. What about the land itself? Atovohi imro. Is it good or is it bad? So he brings down, hey, would Moshe Rabbeinu say it out of his mouth? See the land of Israel. Is it a good land or isn't it a good land? I mean, what is he implying? He's implying a doubt. It's not acceptable that Moshe Rabbeinu would express a thought which in his mind wasn't really a doubt. How can he say the word Hatovohi Imro? So it says like this. What should be the right way of saying perhaps it's good, perhaps it's bad? It should be Im Tovohi Imro. Or Hatovohi Oro. What does it mean? Hatovohi Imro. So he learns that the pshat is like this. It was a hint that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to the Meraglim. Hatovohi, the land is good, imro, even if it's bad. Which means like this. When you come to Israel, if you actually let yourself go, you will see all negative sides of it. You'll see the good side of it. You'll see the positive of every good, of every bad thing. For instance, Rashi gives us a hint. Like, for instance, you'll come to the land and you'll see fortified cities. On the surface, fortified cities are bad, right? Says Rashi, no, it's good. Why is it good? Because that means they are weak. If they need to be fortified, then they are weak. What is it? You understand? Which means even when you see something which is bad, oh no, it's good, because that's the obligation. If you really fall in love with the land, you'll see everything bad as good. Hatovohi imro, the goal is that you see everything good. For instance, you will see strong people, you'll see giants. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't say it, but he hints to them, you'll see giants. You can say that's very bad, because we'll have to fight against giants. But you can see a good side in it. Look how good the land is that produces giants. Which means everything you see, if you want, you can see the positive side. If you want, not. But your purpose is to see the positive side of Israel. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is hinting to them, don't come with an objective factual report. That's not what I want. I want that your report should be an excited report that should get the Jews so excited about coming into the land of Israel that it should change the whole level of Klal Yisrael at the time. This is the way Rav Yosef Ber Soloveitchik learned the purpose of Moshe Rabbeinu sending the Meraglim. This is why the word is not Leragel but Losur. By Yoshua the word is Leragel, because those were actual spies. These people aren't spies. It's a delegation for the purpose of creating public opinion. And this is why 12 people were chosen, the leaders of the Jewish people, the people who are the heads of the Jewish people, in other words, the ones who, that form public opinion. That was the whole purpose of Moshe Rabbeinu, not to spy, but to come back with a very excited report.
The missions nowadays.
What?
Missions that they send over to Israel all the time.
In order to get them excited.
Yeah,
that was the purpose. It wasn't to see the details. So therefore, when they come back and give an factual report, they didn't fulfill their purpose. The purpose was not the factual report.
Were they supposed to understand the message right?
That was the point is, whenever there is a test, whenever you are presented with a test, whenever Hashem gives you a test, right? There is enough information there that if you want, you can see what Hashem wants from you. And if you want, you can see the exact opposite. That itself is a test. In other words, from Moshe Rabbeinu's words, you can, if you want, you can say, that's all you wanted, Moshe Rabbeinu, a factual report. We gave you a factual report. But that itself is the test, not to see in Moshe Rabbeinu's words a request for a factual report. So that was their test. The whole idea of a nisoyo, of a test, is that if you fail the test, that establishes your actual level. All the miraglim, the Jews, were doing at the time is establishing their factual level. Their level was not a spiritual level. It was a very low physical level. I mean, for their category, it was, relatively speaking, a low physical level. Meaning, they decided that they don't want supernatural means of getting to Israel. They want the normal way, right? They didn't want the burden of being closely tied with Moshe Rabbeinu. They would rather have a Yoshua. Now, we'll come back to this idea later on, because it's very important concerning the understanding of the of many psukim later on. But I want to talk about posuk Tezayin. Eile Shmosu Anoshim. It tells you all the names of all the people. Among them, in Posuk Ches, Lemate Ephraim, Hosea bin Nun, right? So it mentions the leader of the tribe of Ephraim, Hosea bin Nun. Says the Posuk Tezayin, Eile Shmosu Anoshim Asher Sholach Moshe Lasur Esaoret. These are the names of the people that Moshe Rabbeinu sent. Vayikra Moshe leYoshua leHosea bin Nun Yoshua. But Moshe changed the name of Hosea and he called him Yehoshua. Says Rashi, why did Moshe Rabbeinu change the name of Hosea, and what is the meaning of Yehoshua? Says Rashi, his name was just an expression of a prayer. What was the prayer? Ko, Yutkei, right? Yehoshua. Yoshiacho should save you, may atzatz meraglim, from the advice of the spy. Of course, that creates an enormous problem. Because on the surface it sounds that Moshe Rabbeinu sensed that these people are going to be spies, or that they are going to say bad things. So therefore he's praying for Yoshua not to be, not to accept the Atzatz Meraglim. I mean, if he knew it, so why is he sending? Rashi says clearly that God didn't tell him to send the Meraglim. He chose to do it. So if he knew that it's not going to work out, as we see from the fact that he prayed for Yeshua, so what did he send them for? So maybe you can get out of it, yeah, with great difficulty, that sure, Moshe Rabbeinu had a doubt. He thought of the possibility that they may be they may give a wrong report. That's why he made a prayer for Yoshua. But of course, it's difficult. It's very, very difficult. The second difficulty is already pointed out by many reporters, that in Parshas Beshalach, in Shmos, this is Bamidbar, right? Parshas Beshalach, when the Torah describes the war against Amalek, end of Beshalach, the war against Amalek, right? It says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't fight Amalek. I mean, remember, Amalek happens right after the crossing of the Red Sea, right? A week after they left Egypt. Who does he assign to fight Amalek? What is the name? It's Yoshua, right? And what is he called in the Torah there? Yehoshua should be Hoshea, according to the simple interpretation of Pasha's Shlach, that his name was changed now, right? So why is he called Yehoshua in Beshalach? He should be called Hoshea in Beshalach. Okay? So of course you can say, well, already the Torah is saying it, I'll shame Hoshea because he's going to be Yehoshua. But it's of course, it's not a simple shot. I mean, it creates tremendous difficulty. It's much more reasonable to accept the fact that Yehoshua had the name Yehoshua a long time before, which of course brings us back to the difficulty. So why does it say that Moshe called now the name of Yehoshua, Yehoshua? So in order to answer both questions, remember the first question is, if he knew the chances he's taking with the Meraglim, why did he send them? Right? So the point is like this. You know that the word, the idea is based on the word leragel, the noun leragel, resh gimel lamed, right? It's a few meanings. Leragel can mean to spy, right? Why they call the ragel? There is a specific reason why the word leragel means to spy. Because how do you spy? By walking from place to place and looking for the weakness of the city that you're going to conquer, right? So that's why it's called ragel, Loshon regel. There's something else that's called regel. In Sefer Mishlei, it describes the tzaddik as veloi regel al leshono. Regel means Loshon Hora. Le ragel also means to speak Loshon Hora. Why? Because the Baal Loshon Hora is the one who walks around from place to place and talks Loshon Hora. So the word Leragel means also Loshon Hora. The one that, you know, the Ragel of somebody who slanders, somebody who just criticizes other people, is called a Meragel. You know that we find by Yahushua something extremely interesting that we don't find by any other leader of the Jewish people. The bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gives Yahushua, it's repeated over and over again in the Chumash. It's repeated over and over again in Sefer Yahushua. You know what the specific bracha on Yahushua is? We don't find the bracha when Moshe Rabbeinu was made a leader. Chazak ve'ematz. Constantly, over and over and over again. Ve'emel Yahushua chazak ve'ematz. Chazak ve'ematz. Chazak ve'ematz. Why is it so necessary to give Yahushua the bracha of chazak ve'ematz? Right? So it says like this. What was the specific characteristic of Yahushua? Remember we said Moshe Rabbeinu was too distant from the people. Yahushua was a member of the people. He was a member of the people. He was one of them, so to speak. More elevated than they were, but he was one of them. Now, in order to be a leader of a people, you need a certain sensitivity to what the people are saying. But that sensitivity could be also a weakness. The strength of having the sensitivity to the people can also be a tremendous weakness. What's the weakness of being too sensitive to the people? You are going to be enormously affected by what people say. Huh? You are so sensitive to them. Oh, this one, this said that. This one said something else. Oh, this one, well, he's very intelligent. So you are so overwhelmed by people's criticisms, people's opinions, that you become completely paralyzed. You can't act anymore. So therefore, Yehoshua, whose strength was, what was Yehoshua's strength? He was a man of the people, right? That was also his weakness. So in order to overcome the weakness of that characteristic, Moshe Rabbeinu told him, Chazak ve'ematz, which means you should strengthen yourself that the criticism of people shouldn't affect you. Okay? That means Chazak ve'ematz. That's the meaning of Chazak ve'ematz. Now, in different words, Ko Yoshiyacho me'atzat meraglim could very well mean God should save you, in other words, should give you strength from the advice of people who always criticize and always say bad things, which means don't be too influenced by what people say. Now, because of the double meaning of the word miracle, that same brocha of Moshe Rabbeinu that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Yoshua in the beginning of Yoshua's career. Yoshua's career starts by Amalek already. He is already Moshe's disciple. He is already the man who goes down to battle Amalek. Why doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu battle Amalek? Because it's not his league. Moshe Rabbeinu is a spiritual man. He's on top of the mountain praying. Who is the man of the people? Who is the man that relates to the physical aspects of the Jewish people? Yoshua, from the beginning. It's not something new. It's from the beginning that Yoshua is the leader of the Jews in the lowest levels, in the most material, physical level. He fights Amalek, not Moshe. Why? Because he represents the leadership at the lower level of Klal Yisrael. Okay? So, at that level, he received the broche. The only danger of being the leader at that level is that you can become too sensitive to what people say. So God should save you from too much sensitivity. Now, that prophet was transferred to when the Jews actually sent the other type of meragli. In this case, spies, right? And in this case, Yehoshua used the broche in order to what? Just imagine Yoshua, a person extremely sensitive to others' opinions, to other people's opinions, a very modest person. Yoshua, a Talmid of Moshe Rabbeinu, that his main characteristic was modesty. Here he is listening to 10 of the greatest leaders of the Jewish people, and they are saying, it's terrible, this land of Israel. We'll never be able to conquer it. What would be the natural reaction of Yoshua? Definitely give in to them. That would be the natural reaction. So the same bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu had given Yoshua in the beginning of his career, right, was redoubled, was effective in this particular case. So when the Torah says that Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu changed the name of Yeshua, it doesn't mean now he changed the name of Yeshua. It means that change that Moshe made on Yeshua's name was very appropriate for this case, because it saved them from being overwhelmed by the 10 miracles. But it doesn't mean that it happens at this point. It happened a long time ago. So this answers both questions. Remember this. The first question was, if Moshe Rabbeinu changed the name of Yeshua, that means that he knew that the miracle was forbid. Why did he send it for? The answer is, he had no idea. If he had any idea that the miracle would work out the way they did, he would have never sent it. So when did it happen that he changed the name of Yeshua? A long time before, in Parshat Bishalach, when the name Yeshua appears for the first time. At that point, Moshe Rabbeinu changes the name of Yeshua. Why did he do it? Because already at that point, Yeshua was the leader of the Jews in a very physical, in their lowest physical level. So at that level, you need the strength, Chazak Le'mat. What is the blessing of Chazak Le'mat? Overcome the influences of other people's opinion. That means Koyoshiach Me'atzat Meragli.
So, yeah. But Rashi's interpretation seems to be that the change was to save them from the spies reporting to Jacob.
So that's what I'm saying. The word meraglim is a double meaning. It means spy and it means slanderers.
Yeah, but it seems that according to Rashi, that Moses is intentional in changing.
That's what I'm saying. That is on the surface what Rashi is saying. The deeper understanding of Rashi is that Rashi is telling you that broche, that blessing that Moshe gave Yoshua by changing his name, was the blessing that saved Yoshua from the miracle. Not that at this point he blessed them.
Right.
Not that at this point he changed his name. Mm-hmm. Right? He changed his name already, Parshat Bishalach. But here it's where it's crucial. That's why it's mentioned here. Okay?
Yeah.
Now,
that was the first question.
What?
That Moshe knew.
He didn't know. He didn't know. He answered that question too. Now, when they come back, posuk Vayalu,
and they went up.
Vayosuru et haoretz,
and they went through the land.
Right, and it says from where to where.
And in Pasuk of Beis, and they went through the Negev, and then they went to Hebron,
and they see the giants.
Right,
and in Pasuk of Gimel, and they came to Nachal Eshkol, etc., 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 and they take Rimonim and Te'anim. Now, it said before, right before Shen, in Pasuk Chof, it says, V'hayomim yemei bikurei anovim. When was this happening?
The ripening.
In the ripening of the grapes. So, the Mefarshim bring down B'Shem Ha'arizal, that it says like this. Why does the Torah say when it was? Why is that important? So the Arizal says because the mitzvah of Bikurim is the rectification of the Chet HaMeraglim. This is why Bikurei Anovim is mentioned in the parsha. What's the interpretation of the Ari says? Very simple. What is the idea of Bikurim? The idea of Bikurim in Parshas Kisovoy, a man goes out of his field, sees the first fruit. We're talking about the seven things that the Israel is blessed with. He sees a pomegranate or whatever it is. He goes over to the pomegranate, makes a sign, he puts it aside that this is the first fruit that he's going to bring to the Kohen. Brings to the Beis Hamikdash, right? Why is it called Bikurim? Why is it called Bikurim? Loshen Bechor, right? Loshen Bechor, because the same way the Bechor is the firstborn, this is the first fruit. Now, everything which is first, right, implies something which is in the top of the scale of value, right? Your first something is always the most important, right? The most important. Therefore, you are showing that this fruit you are giving to Hashem not for yourself, because you recognize how appreciative you are, showing your appreciation for the fact that God gave you the land of Israel. As a matter of fact, you even have to say at the Parshat Bikuri, right? We thank you, God, Al Hadomo Asher Nosatoli. I thank you, God, for the land that you gave me. So you see that the whole idea of Bikurim is the expression of appreciation for getting the land of Israel. Right? That's the top of your scale of values. Now, it says in the Gemara that what was the subconscious reason, and the Gemara doesn't call it subconscious, but that's definitely what they meant. What was the subconscious reason for the leaders of the Jewish people for giving the wrong report? You know what was the real reason according to the Gemara? No, says the Gemara, because in the desert they were the leaders. They were afraid that the moment they come into Israel, all the Jews would be spread out all over. Maybe they'll lose the high position that they had. So the Gemara says, Yaakov Shimoni brings it down here on the spot, that was the reason. Of course, the Gemara doesn't mean consciously they thought about it. It's impossible. We can't accept that. It means that in a subconscious level, that was what's pushing them into not really saying what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted them to say. Comes out that what was wrong with what they did, that their scale of values wasn't exactly right, meaning that they should have put their own interest second to the interest of Klal Yisrael being in Eretz Yisrael. So if that's the pshat, then we can understand why Bikurim is the mitzvah that establishes your scale of values, that Eretz Yisrael always comes first. They decided that their own position comes first. This is why Bikurim is the mitzvah, according to the Arizal, that rectified the Chet HaMeraglim. Now, so they come back and they give a report. Says the Ramban, if you pay attention, everything they said was 100% correct. They did not lie. Meaning, the Meraglim were not liars.
What do they say? In Pasuk Chovzayin, Vayisapru loy vayamru bonu eloret asher sholachtonu vegamzo vatscholovut boshi vezepir yoitze, excellent land, efes ki az ho'om hayoshe bo'oretz. However, the people are very strong. Again, it's a fact. It's not a lie, it's a fact. The Horim Betzura is Gdoilis Meoid. It's a super fortified city. Again, that's a fact. The Gangli de Anok Reinushon. We saw giants. Again, a fact. Amodek Yosheb Reza Negev. Again, a fact. Everything they said was 100% correct. It's interesting how the Ramban learned what was wrong with their report. It's a beautiful shot. He says like this. What does the word Ephes mean? But, however, right? Now, the word however in Hebrew, right, usually in the Torah, there is another word that's used. The word Ephes is hardly ever used. The word is rak, right? Well, there are many other words. Why did they choose the word Ephes? So the Ramban says that there are two ways that you can use the word but. However, like for instance, let's say you want to say, I would like to, you know, I wanted to do such and such, but it didn't work out. So it can mean one of two things. For instance, I wanted to go for a walk, but it was too hot. So it can mean two things. It can mean I wanted to go for a walk, but it was too hot. So therefore, the heat modified my original plan so that I decided to put on a lighter shirt. Whatever, meaning it doesn't reject completely the original statement, but it modifies it. Or there is a but that annuls completely my original statement. I wanted to go for a walk, but it started raining. So therefore, the implication is my original plan is completely annulled. In Loshon Kodesh, you would use different words for the two types of buts. When would you say Ephes? The word Ephes is another meaning. What's the meaning of the word Ephes?
Nullify,
zero. When you want to say, yes, this and this and this, but, and I want to nullify my original statement, then I would use Ephes. So, in the real pshat, it means like this. The land is great. But Ephes, forget about it. Because the people are unconquerable, it's impossible to go in there, so therefore, let's forget about the land of Israel. Says the Ramban that the sin of the Meraglim lies in the word Ephes. It's not the report, but it's the word Ephes that gives them away. Meaning, Ephes is a judgment, that's not the fact. So the Ephes is the sin, according to the Ramban. Now, there's no question about it. Rashi himself hints to a different shot. As I told you, that Rashi goes out of his way in two places to tell us that all the bad things you might see are really good. And some things that are good are really, we have to be very careful. For instance, if it says, do you see a tree? Look if you can find a tree. Ayesh bo eitz, right? What does it mean? If there is an eitz, then it's good. That means it's a good land. There are trees. Rashi learns, no. If there is an eitz, let's be careful. Why? What does the eitz mean, says Rashi?
Yesh odin.
Oh. Eitz is a hint, says Rashi, to the... Because the word eitz in Tehillim is used for somebody with a tzaddik. Ke eitz shosul al palgi mayim. So therefore, Rashi writes, that when Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, Hayesh bo eitz in Pasuk Chof, it means, is there a tzaddik that because of his merit it might be difficult to conquer the land? Right? Which means like this. In the Gemara it's even more specific. He had in mind somebody very, very special. Iyov. You know that according to one sheet in the Gemara, Iyov was a person that actually lived during the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? And he lived in Knaan. He was one of the advisors of Pharaoh. When Pharaoh needed advice, he would send for Iyov. And Moshe was afraid that Iyov is still there.
So if it's still around, come back and tell us. Then we'll have to work on our merits to overcome his merits. So comes out like this. What you think is good, there are trees, is really bad. And then Rashi goes on to say, Hamachanim hitim benibzorim. Do they live in fortified cities or open cities? On the surface, what is better for us? Right? If it's open cities, what's better for us?
Fortified.
No, not on the surface. What would you say on the surface?
You can just walk in there.
You can just walk in there if it's for. Says Rashi, no, it's just the opposite. What you think is good is really bad. If it's fortified, then it's good for us, because that means they're afraid of us. In other words, Rashi tends to tell to say pshat in Moshe Rabbeinu's advice that Moshe Rabbeinu is hinting all the time. Don't fall for the external facts. You have to look beyond the fact. What looks good can really be bad, and what looks bad can really be good. Which means you don't rely on the facts. I'm not asking you for a factual report. That's really behind what Rashi says. Why Rashi changes around the simple interpretation, right? Because Rashi wants to point out that Moshe is asking him, don't look at the facts. The facts can be interpreted any way you want to. If they live in an open city, you can say it's good because it's easy to conquer them. You can say it's bad because they're too confident, right? So the idea was, according to Rashi, that Moshe was hinting to them, don't look at facts. Look at your own feelings. Look at what you feel about Eretz Yisrael. Don't look at facts. So the Ramban learns one way, that the sin of the Meraglim was Efes, and according to Rashi, the sin of the Meraglim was that they brought facts. Who asked them to bring facts? Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want facts. He wants them to be excited about coming to Eretz Yisrael. That's what the failure of the Meraglim was, according to Rashi. Okay, stop here.